economic questions. In what ways might economic changes, such as the rising cost of living, job market instability, contribute to intergenerational tension?
Rising prices. You got a single mom or a single dad, you got to work 2-3 jobs. How's he going to be there to help his child with homework? How's he going to build a structure in his son's door if he's over there working? He's got to pay the bills, he's got to put food in the house. That's all he's wanted. He or she is
critical. Anybody else
want to
touch on that subject? We got
do you believe that the issue of economics will increase homelessness, violence, crime? Because as things go up and people's money's not going up, crime is up. So that's definitely going to impact the behaviors of people, their actions, the way children, and that breaks down from the parent, because the parent can't provide for the child, which also affects the child in their developmental stages. So it definitely impacts it. But what could be done to change it?
Well, one of the things that can be done is we have to get involved in society. We've got to get involved in government. You know, there was a time back in the days where nothing happened. You know, all politicians went through the church, the body of Christ, and it created a structure based off of what the people said. You know, and nowadays that we've been removed, we're outliers, and we don't have no effect, we don't have no impact in what's happening in society as far as what the government is concerned. So when we have these issues like that, there's no one there. There's no one to stop that from happening, you know. And I think, in order for change to happen, we have to be involved in the change. You know, we have to be involved in the change, and that's where the change is going to take place. We have to get more younger generations who understand what's happening to be a part of those situations in order to bring about those changes. Because, like you said, if we don't bring about those changes, what's going to happen is people are going to find other ways to make ends meet. And most of the time, it's not going to be positive because they don't know no other way. You know, and like Jermaine said earlier, we got to teach them economics. We got to teach them how to build their own, not be dependent on the world. You know, the world has to be dependent on us.
Sorry.
And we done turned it all around because we coincide with what the world says how it should go instead of saying what God said and us operating in our purpose. And I think that plays a major part. Anybody else want to touch on that?
So start at home, start at the school level, like where?
It starts at home. It definitely starts at home because we have to build the foundation. You know, look, I grew up in a project and I didn't know we were poor. You know, I didn't know we were poor because I didn't know outside. I didn't know too much outside of my area. You know, but we didn't go without a meal. You know, we might not have everything everybody else had, but we had enough. You know, and too often the world makes you think that what you have is not enough. You know, so we began to chase what the world says is making. You know, instead of what God said. He said, man can't live off bread alone. And too often we're chasing after the bread instead of chasing after him. And he'll add all those things to us. You know, and I think that's where it starts, at that foundation at home. And then we can begin to build the chains. Here it says, in the scripture, it says that Matthew 6, 25-34 teaches not to worry about material needs, but to seek first the kingdom of God. Generations may defer in their views of financial stability, but the culture encourages trusting in God and mutual support rather than attention over worldly concerns. So just imagine, just think about this. See, the Acts community was a real community where they pooled their resources together. So nobody lacked for nothing because they shared what they had. You know, when I grew up, it was a village. You know, you could knock on your neighbor's door and say, we could get some sugar or something. Whatever you needed, you had a community relationship where we were there for one another. We were there to support one another. We didn't have to worry about daycare because if she was home, she watched the kids when the parents came home. So the parents really didn't have to worry about it. They gave Miss Jackson a little something to help out. But she was there to support. We had no support system that we don't have now. And not just outside of the family, but let alone inside the family, we don't even have the support. You know, and that's the sad part. That's the sad part of this generation right now. And I think that's something that we have to work on.
A lot of like this. There's something that's going on. I don't see how we can get back on.
You know, and that's the part that we got to get past because it starts with us. If I can do it in my family and begin to make some changes in my family, that's where it starts at. You know, we can't change the world, but we can change the impact that we have with our family.
Got a question to say. The way we get back. Only way. If we don't start teaching our youth how to understand what Christ means to the inner man, the inner mindset, the spiritual and maturity, the development of self. See, one of the things that happened in the family, this beautiful union that God created the family, one of the things that happened in the family is that the enemy has allowed parents' personal issues to filter into the child. And the child is so confused and so weighed down with the parents' personal and emotional trauma that the child can't keep still, can't receive. And kids are thirsty. You see a little boy up here running around? He was in everything. He's thirsty. He's thirsty for more. But when the household atmosphere is so chaotic, so out of control, so messed up, undisciplined, so traumatized, but its own personal issues, and filtered into the child's mindset. So the child comes to school with the parents and the household stuff in him. He can't hear the ABC, the new way. They try to find a new way to the ABC. You're right, sis. They try to sing it to him when they should do it piece by piece. Even if they do it piece by piece, they still can't sit still and comprehend because the parents' personal and emotional issues filtered into the child. And remember, if we went to preschool, after the first 20 years, as a counselor, I still hear parents' personal issues still in the child. Don't get me started. But it messes the children up. That's why they can't comprehend them. Because all the stuff that go along in the household, but we got to get back to laying the foundation of Jesus Christ in the family, the Word of God, prayer, sitting down, cutting off the TV, taking all that social media stuff out of our hands, and make them come together and focus on what's important about children, about family. That's what you do. That's where you start. You got to get a hold of your family. If you don't manage your own mind, there won't be no progressive change towards righteousness and goodness. What happens is change happens. And the change that you see now, brother, is a culture change. Y'all told me last week. The culture has filtered into the household, filtered into the family, filtered into the schools, and nobody wants to put Christ first. But you've got to get back to Jesus. You know, like you said, the church was, people came to the church because the church had answers. They don't come to the church because the church is not giving no answers that will help their situation. But the answer is still with Jesus. Still with Jesus.
You know, and you said said it, you touched on it, because it says here in Matthew, it says, it teaches not to worry about the material things, but to seek the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things that he added to you. You know, and I think that's the part that we're missing. And the world has made us so resistant to God, because based off the world perspective, it says your situation wouldn't be that way if God was real in your life. You know, but it's not that. It's that we haven't been real with God and committed ourselves to really following and trusting him all the way through, you know, beyond our own understanding.
In my personal experience as a mental health counselor, individual mental health is not tended to. So parents are mentally ill. They can't practically teach and be the parents are supposed to be when they're having a chemical imbalance in their brain, which they have no control over that. But a lot of people don't address those uncontrollable issues. And that makes a major impact on how things are portrayed with people, the self-esteem of a mother, the way she feels, the way she acts. That's going to be something that she might be all the time out looking for men all the time because she wants to be loved, and she's not bad. So that woman may love her children, be into her children, but because mentally, she's stuck from a trauma she's not dealt with as a child. You can't help when you need help.
You know, and that touches just on what Pastor Bruce said, even with Dylan Johnson, that if we don't deal with the traumas that we have, it's going to continue to build up. And we can't be what we need to be for our children. You know, and that's a big part of it. So here it says, responsibility and accountability. Do you believe there's a difference in how younger and older generations perceive responsibility and accountability? And how does it affect the ability to communicate effectively?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Once they get to the character level, I just feel as though it seems like it's starting to fall. That's something that's also starting to fall off the list. Where is it at? Me being my dad, obviously I was an open child, but it just, he was always showing me, you know, like, you gotta be there, like, you gotta have something. And it just, I don't know. But yeah, it just, I do agree with that, just 100%, because a lot of people now are softening their kids. And I had the softness. Something that he was telling me that eventually thought I was the truth. Like, the world don't believe nothing. You're not going to get me nothing. I don't think you'll put nothing into whatever you want to do, which direction you want to go. So, for that, go do it yourself. You kind of do it yourself. I'm not going to be here to hold you and help you. Your friends ain't going to do it. And you got to do it for you.
So, as you say that, I'm going to get to you. But as you say that, does that change the way you're raising your son and your daughter?
I would say.
Or do you feel you are a little lighter in the discipline or saying no or really giving that direction compared to the way your dad was? But you probably might have been
No, I don't. I would keep it the same because I don't. And honestly, he was too soft. Like, don't get me wrong, like I said, I seen both sides, but like, my cousins would tell you, you have got everything you asked. As soon as you asked what you did, when it would come to the party.
I would see that.
No. I got it, it was a special occasion, birthday, Christmas. And so I asked months down the line, and it came time for it, or I asked right before it was time to. But he always told me, like, look, all the stuff you got, I didn't give to you just because you earned it. And he made sure, I'm not going to do everything for you. Don't earn it, you got to earn it. He kept doing that. So, yeah, I knew I got in trouble with school. Okay, don't touch that. There was a point where I wouldn't even touch it. Like, video games, I wouldn't touch it. Because I know he was like, I meant that. Don't touch it, don't play it. Just want to sit there. He never had to take it from me physically for me to do it.
You had enough respect to
him. Yeah.
Eric, if you want to get to you, guys, I know you got something to say. Eric, what do you think about that as far as the respect and the authority and the difference between responsibility and accountability?
I feel like nowadays it's hard for people to be, they're not held accountable for their actions. Or they don't feel like they should be responsible for a lot of things. I think it's very hard to hold someone accountable and responsible for something. Like my parents nowadays are trying to be your friend. Like you can't set a boundary if you're also taking back what you said to be your child's friend. It's very hard to hold someone accountable when they're like, well, I don't have to do what you say because you told me I could do this. And it's like, it's hard to set all of those things when nowadays your parents are just, they're not putting their foot down and being like, how do you think that is? My dad was the same way. Like, you know, he showed tough love. Like, you're not everything is going to be handed to you. You need to be responsible for the things that, if you want this, you need to be responsible for it. And if you break it, you need to be held accountable for what you're doing. And nowadays, kids are like, I don't have to do any of that. So it's very hard to do all of that stuff.
I would say that also just comes to a lot of people. Some people have siblings. So when a kid has siblings, I didn't do that. He didn't. And then the parents like, okay, now you pick up your mess, which is a whole other accountable board. It just gets to the point where it's like, but they had it. And now it's just circling. Yeah, now it's just circling around.
At the end of the day,
at one point it was like, look, it don't matter who did it, who had it. I told you to do it, so do it. But like that also took me back to how you said,
and when it comes to the accountability part, you know, and we could take it back to the scriptures in the beginning, in Genesis, when Adam and Eve, each one of them pointed a finger back to someone else. And this is what's happening in family society. Instead of us taking responsibility for the role that we play, it's either one to finger, and I can relate to that because I made a lot of excuses on why I did some of the things I did. I didn't have this, I didn't have that. This person wasn't in my life, but the responsibility is I still had a choice. You know, and we all have that, and that's where that accountability and responsibility comes into effect. That's what you say about this.
I'm just going to say, looking back to what you said earlier, when you said, what your parents said, what it was, that's what it was. Now, you said, I can argue that. I can debate with my parents on, you know, whose fault it is. Mom, you said this, Daddy, you said that. I can argue that. You know, not me personally. But in this generation coming up, you know, they can argue that.
Yeah, this question will stay.
What about children who listen to action? How do they learn the sound? A lot of fathers weren't there for the discipline, and as mothers are very nurturing. So the absence of father leads to absence of discipline. So what would you say is the answer to getting a balance between your mother?
I'll touch on that because I got you.
I know. Yeah, I got you. No, I'm just like me. I was kind of fill in for that spot. So I think I can help this one out.
But you know, and just got another statement too. But just to touch on that, just like Gus said, because that was me. I was raised by a single mom, didn't have my dad in my life, and I used that as an excuse to do some of the things I did. And when God dealt with me with it, he said, I've faced many men in your life, good and bad, to show you. And you have a choice, you know, and that's where that biblical foundation comes in at, because he said, I am your father. I'm that example that you should hold, you know, and that's the part, because you gave them the nurturing part. You gave them the love that wasn't missing, teaching them what it was to be a man you couldn't do, but they were meant in his life or their life to show them as they were in mind, to show me what it was to be a man, good and bad. So it was up to me to distinguish, okay, what type of man I want to be, you know, and I think that's the important.
I think it's important to do our part and put the blame on ourselves. Like how Gretchen said, he didn't have a father in his life, but he had his mom. But he had other men in his life. Apparently, his mom taught him how to listen and to care what others have to say, because nowadays you got people with, you ain't my dad, I don't want to hear that, or you ain't my family, you ain't my uncle, you wouldn't even tell me to hear half of what they're saying. And like he said, that they got so much other things that's going on at home and all that, they don't really want to hear what other people got to say. So it's important to do your part and teach while you got your chances, like how his mom did, because he was willing to listen to others. Some people not even willing. So it's important to do your part while you got the time.
You know, and it goes back to what we talked about earlier as far as those generational gaps and being able to not just put them in a box, you know, because it's easy to put people in a box because they may not be doing something right or the way you think they should. And I think this is where the body of Christ has to grab hold, because we all have fallen. There's nobody who hasn't sinned or fallen short. And I think too often we're pointing the fingers and saying, oh, they can't do it, or they're just too bad, and we're giving up on them and not pouring into them and giving them something to grab hold of. So when they're mature enough, they can grab hold of it and be able to move forward. And that's why I thank God I had people in my life who poured into me, even though at that time they were pouring into me, I didn't receive everything they were saying because I wasn't mature enough then. But because they gave me some information, I had something to grab hold of when I was mature enough to receive
that foundation.
Yes, that foundation. What about you, Jeremy? What do you say about that? Let me read what Scripture says. It says, responsibility and accountability. Galatians 6:5 says that each one should carry their own load, while Ephesians 4:15 encourages speaking the truth in love. The Bible stresses personal responsibility, but also communication rooted in love and truth resolves the differences. You know, and so everything we just said here, just spoke about what God is saying in His Word, you know. And so, if we get back to the core foundation of what the Word says, I believe that would change so many gaps in communication and relationships with these different generations. You know, because the younger generation behind you guys, and even some of you guys, they feel your age, they feel that nobody's listening to them. Nobody's there to help them. They have nobody there, and they got to figure it out on their own, and that's far from the truth. And that's what we have to be there to set that example, to let them know we are here. We do here. We understand, because we were you. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. The next one says, respect for authority. Respect for authority. How has the concept of respect for authority figures changed between generations? How has these impacted interaction in families, workplaces, and communities? That's a big one. That's a big one. Who wants to touch that?
I'll touch base on that one.
Okay.
I'm doing it now currently. We have a woman here that works at Harvest that I have a hard time respecting because of our past. So for me, I still show respect, but like in a very, very hard time kind of way. And I feel like nowadays that's everybody, and that they're giving such a hard time to authorities because, like you said, they all talk back. They don't know, like, They say the first thing that comes out their mouth because they think they're right. Well, because I can do this and I can do that. You don't gotta tell me what to do.
So you put yourself in that bag?
I do. And then I'm working on it. This is
about being real. And this is what we talk about, real talk, having real conversation. Because the only way you can change is you have to recognize that you need to change. You know what needs to be changed in you. Because you can't change anybody else. The only way you can control is yourself. So if you don't recognize the things that are not right with you, you can't really change. I'm doing it for my kids in my leadership class. Talking about character, and I ask them to look at the man and the woman in the mirror and ask yourself, write down some of the good character things you have about you and some of the bad things you think about yourself. And ask somebody close to you who loves you and cares for you, what do they think about what you said about yourself? You know, and I think too often we don't do that. We don't do that self-evaluation and people with ourselves.
I think Erica said herself, I think it's the friendships that nowadays the generations have with their parents. Because it's no discipline, so they get friends and they get confused. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, I mean, exactly what you said in the example that you used, they get confused that if they are your friend all the time, then once you want to say, well, now you're not listening, but they don't know between how to differentiate when they're your friend and when you're being a team. So I believe friendships are very much intervening with issues.
So in touching that, and we're going to get to you guys, I see you ready to go. In touching that, so it starts at home. So if you have no respect for authority at home, you definitely have no respect for authority outside. And I think that's something that's happening big time in society. You know, and last week we touched on the generations of drug abuse and the different things that happen from era to era, from one generation to the next, and it deteriorated the family structure and the values and respects that we had for our parents because of the different drugs and the different things that we witnessed ourselves. We lost that sense of respect for them. And so if you can't respect your parents, you definitely can't respect nobody else.
Yes. You kind of took the word very soon. But I was going to say, how are you going to respect somebody at your school or your supervisor or your manager, whatever, if all your life you know you've been able to disrespect your parents? That's all.
I'm gonna force them to look in the mirror because I just said like nowadays I like look around like it's a lot of more people that's not right in their mind than more than there is like people that is right in their mind. And I'm saying that to say self-control and knowing yourself and understanding yourself is very important because people want to try you every day, all day. The enemy is going to try you every day, all day. But knowing yourself and controlling yourself can diffuse a lot of situations because you won't give the people the reaction they're looking for. And the old me used to snap out so fast, but now it's like I take it personal if somebody can get me to react a way I don't want to react. I think it's like way too much control over me. So now it's like the way others are going to be others. We only have control over ourselves. And if I'm not at peace with myself, if I'm at war with myself, I have kids. How can I be? I got to teach them the right thing if I'm not right. And that's very important. You got to be right with yourself because I can't teach and show others. If I'm not right, if I'm at more with myself. If I got all these personal things going on, I'm taking out on my kids, or first person say something, now I'm snapping. It's a total different when you have peace with yourself and you know yourself and understand yourself. It'll save a lot of trouble.
You set them off with that, seems like you were ready to say something. You know, I know everything got something to say. Go ahead, Ellen.
I also think, like, we see things online, and that's the first thing we make assumptions about everybody else is online. And it's very hard to nowadays people are spewing everything out. You know, they're taking videos of everything, someone's doing something wrong, and then they're posting it, and you got all these comments, they're such bad people, da, 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 da. And then it sets you in mind, like, I don't have to respect them because they're bad people. It is very hard when you see things online every day, in your face, every day, and now you're gonna, you just assume everything, and that's when you put them in a stereotype, because since you're this way, you think everybody else is that way, so no, I don't have to respect you, you, and it's very hard. I think social media plays a very big role when it comes to respecting authorities, because you can hide behind a phone all day and talk bad about people, and then you start seeing it out in the world, like, see it out in the world today, and now, oh, since I saw it on here, now I can say this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and you have it completely wrong. And that makes any sense.
And this is the big part, and that's what Pastor Bruce was talking about. We have to give back to the basic foundation. You gotta to shut things down. You know, we can't control everybody else, just like you maybe said. The one we can control is ourselves. So if we build that structure in our household, set that foundation, we don't shut the TV off, we don't shut the social media off, we don't spend time as a family, we're gonna change the way things are, and it starts right here with us, you know, and that's why we're having this conversation, because we are the future, our children are the future, and if we don't begin to make some changes, we think things are bad now, just imagine how it's going to be 20 years from now, and time is not waiting, this moving on, you think about it, how old will you be in 20 years? 48. That's still a young man, you know. That's still a young man. And your child, God willing, will be 20 years old. You know what I'm saying? So you think about that. And if we don't make changes now in ourselves and in our families, that structure will be lost. We can't control everybody, but we can control what happens in us. Our families.
Just to piggyback on I didn't get along with my son. And but recognizing what my son required, having anxiety, going through depression, getting them all with him meant more to me because that meant my son's going to feel better. And I don't have control issues, but there are so many people that have control issues, people worrying about who this one's with and that one's with. And the union that's necessary for a partnership, raising a child, cannot accurately be attempted and done because I ain't gonna say nothing first. I'm not gonna, I don't like it. You know, you got too much pride that's sticking in the way instead of saying, my child is number one, let's worry about the child, give you an eye. Because that's what I had to say, and I'm just being honest. I said this specifically, let's forget about me and you not getting along. Because our commonality is our child. Let's focus on him and that is the best thing.
You know, and we're about to close right now. But family, I pray that this was enlightening to you, and we hope that you be a part of the next week, because we're going to continue on that subject. You know, because what she said was so important. And I wonder, will we ever have the family marriages that have 50 years, 60 years, where they've been together all that time, will that ever be again? You know, but it can be. you see it coming up on the screen. So whatever God is placing in your heart to sow, and we pray that you come back, be a part of what we're doing here on Wednesday nights and on Sundays at 10:30. We at Harvest. We have a great ministry of love and support, and most of all, God's word. And we pray that you're a part of what we're doing here. And we look forward to seeing you here. My guest, as usual, is going with a kind saying. So I'm going to give everybody a chance to get something to say to the people before we go.
Play at the foundation in your home first. Always start home first. So a lot of things can happen in your home that you can change and flourish outside.
Something along the lines of America, but look in the mirror, look at yourself, evaluate yourself, and you can go from there.
I would like to say, I'm listening right now. I think I'm more of a listener than taking it in right now than getting it back out.
You said a lot. Listen. Take the time to listen. Be slow to speak, quick to listen. You know, and I think that's important. And like Erica said, the seeds that you sow, the seeds that you will sow, believe you need, they will come to harvest. We're in fall season now. This is the harvest season. So those seeds that you planted, those seeds that were planted in you, they will come and produce what they're supposed to produce. Because God's word will not come back to you. We love you. God bless you. On behalf of Dr. Williams, First Lady in the Harvest family, we say good night. God bless.
I heard something, but it was loud like that. I couldn't hear it. I'm trying to figure out what mic you had because it wasn't coming through the system. Oh, my mic?
Yeah, you had the black one or the green one?
Or the orange? I don't know which one. But I heard myself.
Yeah, no, I can hear you. I don't know if it was your mic.
All right, man.
Thank you. I go up there next Wednesday.
Okay.
Me and Earl be up there.
I've been trying to get Earl.
I might not be here next week.
I've been trying to get Earl for forever.
He might not be here next week. Oh, no.
He's
Eagles losing. Can't even see him. Oh, man.
Not too much.
Week 4. Come on now.
But you know what's crazy? They were showing his numbers. His numbers the same as Noah's, same as Patrick Mahomes right now. His quarterback numbers are the same as Patrick Mahomes. No, Patrick Mahomes got more turnovers. Patrick Mahomes got 5. And he got 4. Yeah. Yeah, I'm giant, son.
Yeah.
That's why I mean.